I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I am here with all of the tools today. We have Nasty Nate Parker.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's going on, Nate? What's going on? Brandon Coach Lumberg.
What's happening? CSPN. I'll blow the fake whistle. I'm kidding, I can't.
blow the whistle, Coach.
Whee!
Then we got CSPN. McLaughlin. How you doing, man?
I can't complain, man.
He said he didn't want anything to do with that name anymore.
And then he changed his mind because he's a moody dude. That's what we're going to go with.
I feel like that was a movie I once watched.
I feel like if I were to be given a sound effect by the sound effect guy, it would be the toilet flush. So I appreciate that I don't have a sound effect.
I'm pretty sure the toilet flush is already your sound effect, so don't get too
heavy. Whoa. I'm not the one telling everyone Aaron Rodgers deserves more weapons, so we'll reserve that toilet flush.
Excuse me for being crazy. Yang gang, you know? It's all good. So, hey, guys, you know what? RIP. We had a death in the football community yesterday. And it was somebody who had a very, very successful college career. He came in. He was a backup for a bunch of years in the NFL. Colt Brennan, after the University of Hawaii, died while in rehab in my own town here in Newport, California, which is known for its rehabs. But, yeah, Colt Brennan has almost 15,000 yards passing. I think it was like 130-something touchdowns or something ridiculous, yeah. Something like that. He's just – I mean, that was back when Hawaii's offense was one of the – it was must-see TV whenever they came on television.
Back when June Jones, I think, was, yeah. Was the head coach.
I think, man. So, yeah.
USC's best offensive year with Carson Palmer. June Jones came over and was our offensive coordinator. That's what made Carson Palmer the number one overall draft pick.
You know what? Which makes me think, Brandon, maybe I know for the after further review stuff that you're doing, I know you were going to do some stuff on the spread offense. Maybe you can throw June Jones in there and talk about how Hawaii.
This could be a conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. How they kind of, you know, reinvented the wheel, so to speak.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that we can have conversations about.
Yeah, like Hawaii, I mean, and RIP, Texas Tech from, but, like, 15 years ago? They didn't believe in running the ball.
Oh, dude, yeah. Mike Leach.
Yeah.
Hal Mumme from Kentucky with Tim Couch.
No idea. I mean,
that's literally where the air raid
happened. With the plugs. Teaching me something.
You don't know who Tim Couch is?
I know who Tim Couch Mumme. Is. Hal Mumme. I don't know my mama.
Yeah.
What?
In other news also, I just thought this was interesting. I saw this on a meme this morning. Dak Prescott in the year 2021 will be making more money than LeBron James.
He deserves every penny.
Wow.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's because LeBron James is not very good at basketball anymore. Injured.
Anyways, can I get a sound effect, please?
The best ability is availability, and he ain't available right now. No, I'm just kidding. LeBron James is the best player in the
Nate's
NBA.
Nate's in the building, everybody.
Nate's in the building.
Hey,
pigtail.
I just thought that was interesting. Conor McGregor, of course, at number one with the sale of his Proper 12 whiskey. And then Cristiano Ronaldo, who's been up there for years. And then you had Dak and LeBron right underneath him. I thought that was really interesting.
Well deserved. Shout out to my quarterback.
That is cool.
Now, I have a interesting – they're already making rookie of the year picks
That's cool.
For the offensive rookie of the year for the NFL. And a lot of people, it's kind of all over the place. I'm looking at the experts right now. Matt Bowen, he's a big ESPN writer. He's choosing Ja'Marr Chase. That's my personal pick. I think Ja'Marr Chase will be the rookie of the year, just with his connection with Joe Burrow already. Mike Clay's got Najee Harris. There's a couple Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence. Najee Harris seems to be a repeater. Who do you guys think early offensive rookie of the year, just off the top of your head? Obviously, we'll have a early season reward show eventually.
I think it's a wide receiver.
I think so, too. That's why I was going with Chase. Devontae could easily, because he steps in to be the number one in that offense.
It's going to be one of the quarterbacks. The last 2 years, it has been a quarterback that's won the World.
It could be Trevor Lawrence.
I think it might be Trey Lance if he gets on the field.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Justin Fields.
I think Fields will make the most. There's a high. That's high. Higher than.
I think it's possible. Less likely for it to be a running back this year, just because if you look at the running backs that were taken, they weren't necessarily taken in spots outside of Najee Harris, who's going to be running behind a band-aid of an offensive line. But the other two running backs, Etienne and Williams, is going to be splitting time, so it's going to be hard for him. Etienne's going to be splitting time, so it's going to be hard for him. Before previous running backs that's won the award, it's been Saquon Barkley in 2018. We easily called that preseason, right? Because Saquon Barkley's a stud. Before that year, it was Alvin Kamara, who had a crazy rookie year. So, I mean, it could be a running back, but just based off the history, it's probably more likely to be a quarterback. And we had some studs go at the top. So if I had to choose,
I'm going with
Trey Lance.
And you've got three guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, three guys who will start out of the gate.
Exactly.
Do we see maybe like a dark horse with Jalen Waddle, or do you think there's not going to be enough balls to go around for Waddle to put up?
I think he's a dark horse for sure. Yeah, and I think that he might be the best.
Yeah.
To do sure. it he right be, out of the right out of the game.
I think
better than Ja'Marr Chase?
Yes.
I think the dark horse
T. Higgins is the number one right now. Go ahead.
False.
I think the dark horse of the rookies is probably Mac Jones. Because if he beats Cam Newton out for that starting job, leads that team to 12-5. Makes a deep playoff run.
I mean, I can't say it's the worst take you've ever had, because there is a possibility. Like they love the white quarterbacks over in New England.
I mean, I literally just said LeBron James isn't good at basketball anymore. Of course, it's not the worst take I've
ever had. Hey, I just had to preface it.
Hey. I mean, they've got like the Patriots completely retooled. Like Bill Belichick for the first time in forever was like, "Let's go pay people," and then he got a really good.
That necessarily may not be a bad thing, though, because this is the first time we've ever seen Bill Belichick panic.
And I don't even know if it's panic.
He gave Nelson Aguilar, like, there was not a market for Nelson Aguilar at the time. He gave him about $8 million extra. Like, right, I was doing some research. Like, they weren't all smart signings. A lot of people, he also set the market for the tight ends. There weren't competing offers. They went out and got the players that they wanted. So we've never seen him panic like that before.
We can't really call it panic. Like, what happens if all of those guys are top five at their position?
Yeah, I don't think he
let's pump. Either. Like, in my opinion, my take is pump the brake on the panic take and just say Bill went out and spent money. He's never done this in the past. I don't necessarily know if it's panic. And then he by happenstance, Mac Jones.
Hey guys, Rashad Bateman at plus 4,000.
Wow.
That would pay out a lot. I'd throw $5 on that.
Hell yeah, man.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Jeez, $100 for $4,000?
Yeah. That That's would insane. Do it. I like Bateman, man.
To think did about because he could be the number
Did Bateman go
one.
To the Ravens?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be their number one eventually before the year's
over. By week 10, I agree.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. That is the Brandon, read us some of the
Yeah, do you I can have give any you. Other
here's
odds?
Some good. Here's some good.
Give
ones.
Us the top got, 10.
These are from DraftKings.
Oh, can't be.
So we got Rashad Bateman plus 4,000. Michael Carter for the Jets. He's plus 3,300.
Oh, that's not bad.
That is a good one, I think, too.
He could be their number one, though, man.
Sneaky good. Sneaky good out of left field if he does come out of left field.
Tevin Coleman has not been able to stay healthy. That's who they signed as their starter right now. So
Jalen Waddle's plus 1,600. Yeah. The quarterbacks are still, like, you've got Trevor Lawrence is the top at plus 300. Justin Fields at 2, plus 600. Trey Lance, plus 600. Zach Wilson, 4th at plus 700. Kyle Pitts, 5th. Plus 1,100 in Mac Jones, plus 1,100 with Jamar Chase Kyle and Najee Pitts. Harris behind him at 1,100 and 1,200.
I really like Jamar Chase's, but we're also sleeping on Kyle Pitts. Remember, Kyle Pitts is being dropped into an offense with two Pro Bowl wide receivers already, as of now, if Julio Jones still stays on the Falcons. Like, the opening in the seam for the greatest tight end prospect since Gronk is going to be wide open.
What are Matt Ryan's MVP or Offensive Player of the Year projections? Because with those weapons, Matt Ryan could quite easily, Kanye West making an appearance.
Yes.
Matt Ryan could very can Matt Ryan have 6,000 yards passing this year?
Not without Kyle Shanahan as his quarterback.
No, check this out. Offensive rookie of the year trend. So
it is based on wins.
I just found this on sportsbettingdime.com. Offensive rookie of the year trends. Here are some of the recent trends to know before betting on the award. So Justin Herbert won in 2020, Murray 19, Dak Prescott 2016 are the only QBs to win the award in the last 8 years. Running backs have won the award in 2 of the last 4 seasons and in 4 of the last 8 seasons. Something to keep in mind.
Justin Herbert won Rookie of the Year, not Offensive Player of the Year, didn't he?
He won Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. Sorry, apologies.
You're getting MVP and Offensive Player of the Year mixed up.
And again, running backs have won the award in 2 of the last 4 seasons and in 4 of the last 8 seasons. So that's a 50% hit rate in the last 8 years for running backs that we're trying to throw to the wayside right now. Kyler Murray and Cam Newton, 2011, are the only first overall picks to win the award in the last 10 years. Dan Marino is the only QB to win Offensive Rookie of the Year with less than 12 starts in his rookie season.
Wow.
And the award has gone to a player from the NFC in 13 of the last 14 seasons. Vince Young in 2006 is the last AFC player to win it prior to Herbert in 2020.
Now, I think this will be an interesting Rookie of the Year award race, especially with how loaded this first round draft. The first round of this draft was with offense this year, which we've seen more than most of the years in the past, how high offense players were taken. One last thing for the news. Yesterday, or a couple days ago, on Colin Cowherd's show over on Fox Sports, Justin Jefferson had an interview of the wide receiver from the Minnesota Vikings, the young wide receiver from the Minnesota Vikings, and he was talking about who's, of course, Colin, he likes to push the envelope, and he asked Justin who was the best quarterback he's ever caught passes from.
Ooh.
And instead, a surprising answer was he prefaced it with, you know, I love
Jose Barrose.
He said Joe Burrow just has more swag than Kirk Cousins. He said that he stays in the pocket. He's not afraid to take a hit. He said they both don't have the strongest arm and they'll both put it like exactly where you want it. But Burrow just has that I own this field attitude. When he walks on the field, and he says it just makes that little difference in those big moments. So let me ask you a question. For one season and one season only, right now, here in the NFL, would you take Joe Burrow or Kirk Cousins?
I'm taking Burrow.
Me too.
I'm taking Burrow.
Well, we already know who Nate's taking.
For one season only, next
one
year.
One season, next year.
In a vacuum.
Yeah.
So, like, basically putting them behind, I take Joe Burrow.
This is not that hard of a decision.
Whoa. You see how much he had
to. All right, cool. Consensus.
It looked like there was some painful.
It was.
That was painful.
I give you credit, mate. Yeah. I'm objective. All right. So,
you're growing.
A little teaser for our quarterback rankings.
Put it this way. Kirk Cousins would also have a torn ACL if he played behind the Bengals line last year, too. So.
Probably, but he wasn't afraid to take those hits. So Kirk might have peed himself.
Kirk takes hits all like.
You like that?
You like that? That's pee-pee on my pants. You like that?
Kirk Cousins would have lost his job before week 6 if he didn't have an offensive line. he wouldn't have been back there long enough for him to get hurt.
Nah,
what are you talking? I'll save it for the quarterback show.
All right, save it for the quarterback show. And a show it will be indeed.
Well, 3 hours long, I'm sure.
That's a little teaser, guys. We're going to be doing positional rankings for fantasy and real life, and it's going to be a ball. You're going to hear some arguments. People are going to cry. Friendships will stop. The podcast might end. But
it might within the first 10.
All the content out that we can. Let's hop right. CJ, you got any trivia for us today?
Of course.
No.
Of course I do.
Of course he does.
He does?
All right. Then let's cut it to my man, CJ McLaughlin.
First of all, I want to preface it by saying this. You f***ers undermine my research. You guys don't think I come prepared with a trivia question.
Didn't even believe you had it.
Like, holy f***. But anyways, without further ado, I got a question. I'm guilty. That all y'all gonna get wrong, so.
Hey guys, Nate here. And you know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps my data and stat analysis combined with the good old eye test. But you know, where you get the numbers matters. If you want to make sure that the numbers you're getting are going to match what you're seeing on the field, go ahead and give our sister site a check. FootballScout365.com, created by Brandon Lundberg. Football Scout 365 has in-depth analysis for both pro and college football. Football Scout 365 has numerous tools such as the NFL Situational Analysis Tool, NFL Free Agent Analysis Tool, and the oh-so-important NFL Mock Drafts, but not too many of them because who knows what's really going to happen on draft day. I use Football Scout 365 daily, and you should too. So go on over to FootballScout365.com and check them out. Welcome to 5 Tool Trivia.
And you know what? Again, I always try to align the trivia question with today's discussion. And we were talking about Offensive Rookie of the Year and all this stuff. So without further ado, in 2020, Justin Jefferson set the record for most reception yards in a season for a rookie. Who previously held the record for most reception yards in a season as a rookie?
Oh, I got it.
I got it.
Woody, you go first.
Oh, I want to tell it.
Damn it. It's between two people.
No, give it to me.
I think it's the obvious one, but I'm going to go with Anquan Boldin because I think it's going to be a sneaky answer. Anquan Otherwise, Boldin. It'd be Randy Moss, but okay. I think it's Anquan
Boldin. Damn it. Shut up, Woody. Can't have two answers.
Nate.
I believe the answer is Anquan Boldin.
Anquan Boldin. All right.
You suckers.
And
who is it?
It's Randy. I guarantee it's got to be Randy.
I think it's Randy for yardage. Receptions, I know.
Yeah, it's true. Randy was.
Wait.
So I'll reread the question.
He said yardage.
In 2020, Justin Jefferson set the record for most reception yards in a season by a rookie. Who previously held the record for most reception yards as a rookie? So. Just
Anquan Boldin has it.
It's probably Chris Carter.
Just to come back.
No, Randy Moss had it for Randy Moss has the Vikings record. Anquan Boldin previously had the NFL record. Anyways, CJ. All
right. The correct answer is Anquan Boldin.
Somebody's Alexa talking.
Hey, there we go.
Was it Anquan Boldin?
It was.
It was Damn Anquan it. Boldin.
He broke the record in 2003 with 1,377 yards. The previous record was obviously Randy Moss. I think he had like 1,326 some odd yards. So good job, fellas.
And I avoid the sandpaper glove.
Avoid and the broomstick.
And the broomstick. Oh. All right. Well, let's
Speaking
dive
of broomsticks, have you guys ever watched 13 Reasons Why?
Yeah, that's messed up, bro.
I didn't say anything. I was just asking. I mean,
that show was terrible.
Yeah, I know. It's so toxic. I can't stand when people watch stuff like that. I'm like, why do you watch that dumb shit?
I ended up watching the whole thing because I just, it kept getting me more mad. this is what the kids are doing. My girl actually has me watching this this new show on Netflix, or in the second season of the show. It's a game show, a social media game show called The Circle. And let me tell you, I know you guys, if you guys would have watched this within 10 minutes, you would have gone postal. You'd hate every single person on this game show because it's all about like putting little. All the contestants, they live in these like 10 apartments in the same building that are inside this circle, and they never meet each other. They can only post in this chat room that they're all in, and they're all living in this apartment, and there's different challenges and stuff that they do. But everyone has to talk to each other in like social media speak. But the thing that makes it interesting is the prize is $100,000, and you end up like voting everyone off based on how much everyone likes each other. So it's a popularity contest, and you can catfish people. So there's guys pretending to be like hot girls, and then there's like girls pretending, and they're just like, "Oh my god, Rosé all day!" Like, wow. It's guys, dude. It's
my wife tried to get me to watch it.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. You hate most of the people that are on it.
Yeah.
There's this one bad Dominican joint, though. She's from the Bronx. She's pretending to be her husband as a single father.
I'm about
She's
to whip out the sandpaper glove is what I'm about to do.
Oh, man, that's funny.
All right. Enough of the pop culture. Let's dive into the NFC schedule. The schedules were released today. And we're going to start with the NFC East. The NFC East last year, it was a tragedy. Might be the worst year any divisions had in the NFL. Every team started off in the worst way possible. And then some teams started to rebound. And last year, out of nowhere, the Washington football team, after losing their namesake, not getting the trademark correct, bringing in a new coach who then had a battle with cancer preseason, tough as nails, still came back and coached. Riverboat Ron Rivera, Alex Smith making one of the most amazing comebacks from an injury we've ever seen in the NFL. They made their way into the playoffs at under 500, but they still made their way into the playoffs. So do we see them coming back next year? I'd be surprised. Then we have, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, maybe the biggest surprise losing team last year. And how everything fell apart. But that had a big thing to do with losing franchise quarterback Dak Prescott to an ankle injury. Even though he was doing great before that. Yeah, but the wheels just fell off after that. The New York Giants, they were on their way to coming back last year. They started to look better as the season went on, and that offensive line came a little bit more together, but they lacked the receiving options for young quarterback Daniel Jones. Went out, solved that in the offseason. They're supposed to be improved. And then the Philadelphia Eagles, if we would have said Carson Wentz wasn't going to be the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles preseason last year by the end of the year, we'd be making a lot more money than we are right now. Let's say that way, because I think that was the most surprising thing. Carson Wentz ended up losing his starting job to young Jalen Hurts, and now he found his way to Indianapolis, and they drafted Devontae Smith, and the Eagles are pretty much in a rebuild. So we look at their strength of schedule, and you have the New York Giants are sitting at the 8th strength of schedule. The Eagles are the first. Dallas Cowboys, CJ, you're going to be happy. Number 2, with only a 45% win percentage.
You know what? This year. And the last time they had one of the weakest schedules in the NFL, they went like 13-3 and won the division. So.
Ooh, good little stat. Yeah. And they're playing the AFC West. So that's matchups against the Raiders. And if the Broncos don't have a quarterback, still the Broncos. Not an easy win, but easier. And the Chargers, of course, with their injury history on defense, you never know. But I am looking forward to mark the calendar for a Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City matchup. That's going to be
We already know that the Cowboys are playing the Bucks Week 1.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's going to be a great game. I look forward to it, man.
Cowboys are 0-1. I was upset that because I thought about putting that as like one of my most anticipated games. But Tampa Bay, their Super Bowl team. Dallas is coming off of a season where they were in great flux. So like, I mean, hey, obviously I'm pulling for my boy.
You find out where you are.
Early. And so if they get blown find out where Thursday you are right night, away. It's okay. I mean, it's what should happen, to be quite honest with you. But make no mistake about it, this is the Cowboys' division to win this year. I mean, they have the best
Can I get a hot take alert? Hot take alert sound effect, please.
What is the hot take sound effect alert?
I don't know. You got to create one.
We don't have one. We usually wait until you say something, then we give you the toilet flush or something.
All right, rev the engine, baby, because it's the hot take alert right here.
Well, that didn't start. That shit stalled out.
Well, wait till you hear the. Oh, that's just not bad. Oh, we need the. He's heating up from NBA Jam. That'd be tight.
Somebody get a battery charge.
Well, you know, it might be a toilet flush after you hear it. So just listen to it first. Tom Brady teams are notoriously slow starters, especially with an old man at quarterback. He's got to get the limbs. You know, the grease flowing in the shoulders. He's going to need a couple games to dive right back into it at his age and get the team flowing. I think the Cowboys are going to jump up and punch the Bucks in the mouth game one.
Hey, I think the football gods are a little upset.
I'm a fan of the Cowboys doing really well this year.
As you were.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Listen, there's backup to my stats of my theory that Tom Brady teams are notoriously slow starters. They get stronger as the season goes on.
Are you predicting a 45-13 loss similar to the Kansas City Chiefs?
It's too close, obviously. But
it better be more competitive than that.
The way I look at it is, they're going to start slow, and I think the Cowboys are ready, especially after last season, and Dak has something to prove. They're going to be on it, like right out of the gate.
Woody, put it on wax. What do you think the score is going to be? You think young Kyle Trask is going to come in for Tom Brady off the bench?
It's too early because it's barring injury. Woody, I don't want to hear these.
I don't want to hear these.
If everybody's good, the Cowboys to me are a 10-point. It'd be about a 7-ish to 10.
I'd say it'd be a 7 underdog. I think they'll win by like 3, though.
You think the Cowboys will win by 3?
That's my odds. I'll tell you what Vegas thinks.
Uh huh.
All right, pick the score.
27-24. All right. I think the Cowboys are going to surprise people this year. But I think – so we're also – the team that I actually think is going to take a fall back here is, unfortunately, because it was a nice story last year, I think the Washington football team takes a fall back here. Because if you look at the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants – they're all in the top 10 of lowest win percentage for their schedule next year. The Washington football team's all the way back at 18. So that's going to be a tougher schedule. They don't have an offensive line. When you go out and sign the Bears starting offensive tackle last year, Carlos, whatever his name is, I can't remember his last name. They just signed him today. But, I mean, the Bears offensive line was terrible last year. And they cut him for a reason. So when you're saying Washington football team has their starting tackle, left tackle, and it's the guy who got cut from one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year, I'm not getting excited about that. And they still don't have a quarterback. Alex Smith is done. So I think we might see real regression from the Washington football team this year. But they'll be in most games because their defense is amazing. That's what they do have going for them.
Can I throw something out there from left field real quick? Tampa Bay -6, week 1, opening odds.
There you go.
You heard it here first. Over under 52. Football Scout 365, folks.
Before kickoff, because it's versus Dallas, the line's going to move to -4, maybe -3.5. Watch. I bet.
Right. But right now, this might be a good time to take.
No, for sure.
You know.
Yeah. As long as Dak's ankle holds up.
Take Dallas.
So Washington football team next year is over under is 8 games. I'm going under with that.
I think
there's good money there.
Nah.
Philadelphia is only at 6.5. So Vegas does not see the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, they're in a rebuild, right? That's where we are with them.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they are 100%. So if you were going division to by division and you were looking for rebuilds, the Eagles would be in the category of rebuild.
Now, the Eagles are interesting, though, because they do have more offensive weapons than your average rebuild. Like, they still have Zach Ertz. They still have Dallas Goedert. They went out and got the Heisman Trophy winner in Devontae Smith. Jalen Hurts, he was one of the greatest college football quarterbacks his senior year. And he's had championship experience with the Alabama Crimson Tide. And then you have Miles Sanders.
Yeah, their schedule is a nightmare, though.
They're first, an easy schedule.
No, I'm saying, like, when I look at the Saints, the Bucks, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the 49ers, the Panthers, the Broncos secondary, I just, and then the, just because they do have an easy schedule talent wise, I just feel like they're gonna hit a wall,
so regardless of what it says on paper. With their worries about their offense, but see, you see these dudes at 6.5 wins. Like, with an offense like that, you could see them winning, going 8-8, right?
I mean, look, so his weapons and his talent on that offense, the defense doesn't have a lot. And quite frankly, even though you got these pass-catching weapons around Jalen Hurts, his best asset is his legs. So I think that offense can be hit or miss. Like, I know everybody's expecting big things from Devontae Smith, but again, Jalen Hurts' best asset isn't his arm, at least not yet. So if I had to go over under, first of all, 6.5, that's a good point. Like, that's tough, but if I had to choose, I'd probably go under. Yeah. I'd feel safer going under than over.
I'd just be so surprised with an offense like that. But man, I agree, the defense is a mess.
I think Jalen Hurts is going to struggle to get everyone the ball. Like, everyone's tricky. Big on Devontae Smith, and I like his talent, but he also has to depend on Jalen Hurts, who, again, I've said it like 3 times in like 30 seconds. He's just not a passer yet. You know, he's not an NFL passer yet. And he's going to be thrown to a rookie wide receiver. It's going to be some growing pains there. It's going to be some interceptions. All right,
here's a question. Jalen Hurts, has Philadelphia found their franchise quarterback for, let's put the cap at, the next 7 years?
No.
I don't know.
Less than that. Let's say 5. Does Jalen Hurts last his 5 years as starter of the Eagles quarterback, with how volatile the fan base can be?
I say no, but it's so tough to say that because I see some Dak Prescott in Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts can continue to get better.
I like that comparison.
And that's not out of the realm of possibility. Like, it's, I see a lot of Dak Prescott in Jalen Hurts. And just not,
he's a competitor. He's definitely a competitor. That,
exactly. Not necessarily playing style, but just the humility, the competitiveness, the quiet swag that they have about them. I feel like a guy like Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, they step in the huddle, everyone listens, they have everyone's attention, and I think everyone believes. And that's what I like about Jalen Hurts. That's the comparison.
Now, the Dallas Cowboys, they're looking at 9.5 over-under. So you're going with the over here?
Yeah.
I like the over here.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to benefit so much from having Dak back, especially.
Yeah, I also like that they have the Giants at over under 7. I like that even better. I think the Giants are easily like a 9-win team,
but
with how much they've spent.
It's going to be tough for Dallas because I don't expect New Orleans to be that great this year, but they do have to travel to New Orleans. They travel to Tampa Bay. They travel to Kansas City. They travel to the Los Angeles Chargers, which, you know, that's not an easy one. Justin Herbert and the Chargers on the come up, and then they travel to the 49ers, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, actually, I take that back. Not the 49ers, but to the Minnesota Vikings. So, I mean, it's, yeah.
You know, I've been
season, we say it's an easy schedule, but realistically, there's no such thing as an easy game in the NFL, right? And the fact that they have to travel, I mean, it's analytics say they got an easy schedule, but you can't always listen to analytics. I mean, it's,
do they play the Lions?
Yeah, it's definitely not the,
I, you know,
give them at least one win.
We're sitting here worried about the Saints, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about the Saints lately, and I think they'll still be competitive, obviously, because of Sean Payton offense. But the biggest thing that we're going to see a fall off against the Saints is close games, because with Taysom Hill or with Jameis Winston, the thing you lose with Drew Brees is the 2-minute offense. because that man could dink and dunk his way down the field with getting dudes out of bounds and ball placement perfectly like no one else. That's where he really came through, was they were automatic in the sense of like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady going down the field if you gave them the ball with 2 minutes left, at least getting a field goal. That's gone. So we're going to see like at least a three close games probably turn into a loss, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I think the Saints will be under 500.
I agree. I don't think so.
Yeah, I could see it.
What is their over-under? We'll get to it.
Well, yeah. Well, let's jump to them next. So we had NFC East. Let's look at the NFC South. The NFC South, they will be playing the NFC East as well. So that's their counterpart. The AFC. Who are they playing? The AFC?
Yeah, they've got the AFC East and another. There's two crossovers that are on there. So they are facing. Sorry, go ahead.
No. Yeah, go ahead, Brandon. You break it down.
No. I know they've got the NFC. They're facing the NFC East. So you've got, obviously, Giants, Cowboys, you know, on the schedule for these teams, as well as the Eagles and the football team. I don't know. And they also have the AFC East as well. Yeah. So that's where they run into a little bit of trouble in this division. But otherwise, I feel like this is a good path for teams over here.
For sure. This is Tampa's division.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like the NFC is Tampa's division at this point.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and with the Packers and the Aaron Rodgers situation up in there, who knows who's going to be in contention against
Got a good plug, though. I have a great plug. The last two teams before Tampa Bay from the NFC South that have made the Super Bowl, the following year they did not make the playoffs. And that was the Atlanta Falcons back in, 2017, 2018, whenever it was. Years before that, with the Carolina Panthers, made the Super Bowl,
They lost the Super Bowl. That was the same curse I was talking about with the and the same thing with the 49ers last year as well.
Go a little deeper.
So that's why I brought up the Kansas City yesterday. Is there a chance that Kansas City continues this curse? Could they fall off? Are we looking
Kansas
at maybe
City
a Patrick
could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could
be very interesting. So
but I doubt it.
Let's do a little recap of what happened with the NFC South last year. Obviously, the Falcons free fall. They were on the precipice of a rebuild, but they have a franchise quarterback that they couldn't cut. It would be too much dead cap money. So instead of going out and getting the quarterback of the future, they chose maybe the best prospect in the draft in a young tight end, Kyle Pitts, out of Florida. And now we're looking at an offense, passing offense, that has Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Kyle Pitts going into this season, which seems unbelievable. They might trade Julio Jones. It's been rumored he's been on the trade market as of late, but they've never been able to get a deal done in the past. Yeah. So they're still in a rebuild. The Panthers showed a lot of potential last year. They have one of the best young receiving cores. They have Christian McCaffrey coming back healthy. Their defense started to get better last year with some great picks. And then they went and picked up Sam Darnold, who I think everyone on this podcast would agree, an upgrade from Teddy Two Gloves, at least with potential and arm strength and being able to open up the playbook. So the Panthers on the rise. The Saints, last year, my Super Bowl pick, at least to get there, they lost Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback. He wasn't the same. His arm was not there towards the end of the year because of broken ribs. But they did bring in Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. Well, mostly Taysom Hill as the starter, and they got Jameis in there for some plays as well. And we did see positive reactions to when they did play. But the offense definitely wasn't the same. It wasn't as explosive. And so we see a decrease probably there. And then the Buccaneers, I mean, it's just their Super Bowl to lose, right? They have the greatest quarterback of all time. They brought back every single free agent. Major free agent, except we don't know about Antonio Brown. You know, that's always a wild card. But, I mean, it's the Bucs to lose, right? Like, we've never seen a team just run it back like the Bucs are, bringing every single person back. Like, we're really underestimating. Like, they brought every single person of a Super Bowl team back.
1,000%. It's the Buccaneers. It's their division to lose. Everyone else has either like stayed stagnant or gotten worse. Whereas the Buccaneers, when you bring everyone back from a Super Bowl team, I mean, you don't get worse from that, right? So,
no. I mean, this mess they've is got rigged,
17.
Man.
They've got 17-0 aspirations.
And look, well, by all you know means, what? They have a
the fourth easiest schedule in the NFL.
Yeah,
because they play the NFC South. Hell yeah.
They have the highest over under in the league at 11.5.
Yeah, they're gonna sweep the division.
That locker room is gonna be motivated.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna sweep that division.
Dialed in.
I don't know. I think Atlanta's offense could give them some problems. They're pretty high power.
I think it's really the Panthers. The Panthers are gonna be sneaky.
I think the Panthers are gonna surprise some people.
I feel like
making the playoffs this year.
I feel like Darnold just brings an added dimension, that downfield ability. I watched a little bit of him on film recently, just trying to get a little bit of a reminder of what he is. And I looked at some good, I looked at some bad, and his ability to move, very similar. You know, I mean, he kind of looks like, and I forget about him being able to do this, right? You know, he gives you that ability to move around, and he has the crazy arm angle ability. Like, he can throw some stuff sidearm and off platform. He brings a different element to that Panthers offense, but
some Joe Montana,
but go look at Joe Burrow, Burrow at LSU and what the coordinator for the Panthers was able to do, Joe Brady at LSU with Joe Burrow. And now you have another guy with the athletic ability of Sam Darnold who can move around, extend plays, has arm strength like a mother. And I just feel like, man, this is the moment for that guy in the Panthers to take it to the next level.
Nah, look, Brandon, that was a great point. Look, Sam Darnold, it's been no secret about his upside. He is, I would go further than just calling. I know people think he's an above average athlete. Sam Darnold is a really, really good athlete back there at quarterback. So I feel you.
Surprisingly.
You know, the thing
we
is.
We all have our. Go ahead.
He's been in the league for 3
decision
years.
Decision making.
He's been in the league for 3 years. It's been questionable decision making. He hasn't played more than 13 games in any year he's been in the league. So, you know, first and foremost, I think his first goal should be okay. I want to play all 17 games this season. That should be his first goal. And then from there, it's about turnovers and holding on to the ball, right?
Yeah. It's true. Here's...
Can I add one point? I know we're staying too long on Sam Darnold here.
No.
It's wild.
Wait. Let me finish.
Go for it.
You can go off at this point.
So I have one more.
I know we all have
our feelings. We're probably connecting here on something.
We all have our feelings on Mel Kiper Jr. But Mel Kiper Jr. mentioned in the draft this year.
Fuck that guy.
Okay. Mel Kiper Jr. mentioned in the draft this year that he would have taken Sam Darnold over any of the quarterbacks that were in the draft this year.
Maybe with the exception of Lawrence. Because you know what you have in this guy, you know what he's able to do, and if you're a good offensive mind, you'll build around this guy the correct way. And I really do believe that they're going to just dumb it down, and he's going to turn into Josh Allen a little bit. You're going to see a little bit of that process, what they did in Buffalo. They dumbed it down, less thinking, more doing. Darnold's going to get out there. He's still going to make those stupid mistakes from time to time, especially when defenses force him off of his first and second read and he has to go back to number 3 or 4. He's going to make tremendous mistakes. But I know that they're going to scheme around his skill set and that he's going to improve. I feel like he has the potential to break out this year. And you're going to see that Joe Brady talk for head coach coming. Like, I'm telling you right now. And that's the one team that's sneaky.
CJ, give me a toilet flush.
Or Darnold just flops.
All right. That wasn't for you, Brandon. That was for me. I just want to get that out of the way before I give my take, because I know it's coming right directly after. Sam Darnold is going to flop. This team is not going to win more than 8 games. I expect Sam Darnold, again, CJ mentioned that he had hit it right in the head. Sam Darnold has never started more than 13 games. He's never led his team to the playoffs. He has seen ghosts almost every time. He is afraid. I don't think he's Carson Wentz level afraid or yips, but here's the thing. I think Sam Darnold is not broken, but he's not nearly as good as what Mel Kiper is saying, and I don't think he's going to be a successful quarterback.
Listen,
at Carolina.
Darnold's Brandon, coach at USC, terrible. Darnold's coach at USC, terrible. Darnold's coach with the Jets, terrible.
He was so underdeveloped
coming out of college.
I get it, Brandon. You're face deep in Sam Darnold's crotch. I am not.
I will say this about Sam Darnold.
Wow.
I believe that the media and the fans in Charlotte, North Carolina, are going to be a lot nicer than the fans in New York City. So just from that standpoint, it's going to be a lot less pressure for Sam Darnold. And I think that will benefit him. And then, man, Brandon hit the nail on the head. Brandon's been, you know, his face is not in the crotch of Sam Darnold. His face is in the crotch of Joe Brady, because Brandon told us about Joe Brady years ago, and he was right. I mean, look, Joe Brady is the real deal, and I watched a good bit of Carolina last year, and even though they didn't really put the wins together, I was impressed when I watched that offense. I mean, it was creative without Christian McCaffrey back there, and Teddy B did a pretty good job moving the offense up and down the field.
Yeah, it did. And then look at LSU, what happened when he left.
Yeah.
And there's less Fast City girls there for Sam Darnold to worry about getting mono. So
exactly,
that's something to consider.
It is the South. He can probably catch other stuff.
It's like,
yeah. Sickle cell anemia. The NFC North. Let's talk about the NFC North. So last year, Green Bay Packers were in the NFC Championship game. But this year, it is a toss-up. So right now, they have their over-under. This is a chance to make some money here, folks. Their over-under is at 10.5. And they have the 29th toughest schedule.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's their easiest schedule. Excuse me. They're right there in front of the Ravens and Steelers. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't start next year and sits out the season, you're looking to make a lot of money here at 10.5 wins. If you put the under, I would wonder what the odds are on that, because that is something preseason. Like, I would just throw some money on, even if there's controversy with Aaron Rodgers going into the season, that could affect their win total.
I think the NFC North is going to be the worst division in football next year.
The blueprint is starting to come about to where this might happen. Obviously,
where the Lions and Jared Goff take the North.
It's possible with 7 wins.
Jared Kings Goff of the North. Jared Goff is not going to take Jack Diddley. If there is a team up on the block that I believe is capable of overtaking
the Bears,
Aaron Rodgers, is the Bears. You hit the nail right Bears. On the head.
Nate, the Lions over under is actually at 5 next year. And if Aaron Rodgers leaves the division, if Jared Goff leads your team to the playoffs,
wear the jersey?
That's not my quarterback.
I think you have to be in the crotch of Jared Goff.
You're stuck.
No, I don't.
Your squad to the playoffs.
That's your guy.
So here's the thing. At least you can count on this about me. I will never support Jared Goff being the starting quarterback of any NFL franchise.
Even if he gets your team to the Super Bowl, like he did.
Even if he gets my team to the Super Bowl.
What did he do?
All props to the scheming of my head coach that takes people's kneecaps off.
Dan Campbell, the great.
Hey, you know what? Dan Campbell said that, and we all laughed at him like, oh, he's an old, outdated football coach. But at least he's backing up his what he's saying. He went out and he drafted Penei Sewell first round. He's beefing up that offensive line.
Defensive line, too.
Yeah. So the man's ready to win the war in the trenches. And, you know, this might be the time to zag as other NFL offenses are becoming more spread-oriented, less bigger guys, faster.
I have a little bit of data on that we'll talk about later. I don't want to jump down that wormhole. I was talking to CJ about it the other day, and we got sidetracked and never finished it. But it's about personnel groupings and changing how teams might actually be trending towards more beef but still using spread concepts. Yeah. But we'll talk about that later.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. Okay, so the Lions, I actually like their over at 5 games. I think they're a 6-7 win team. Because any team that has a good offensive line and control the line of scrimmage, that's a team that'll be in games. Right. So I could see that. And they have some good pieces still on that defense. Like, there's some pedigree there.
I take the under, folks. Take the under.
For the Lions?
I think you're more likely, like, you're more likely to get the under or push based on the way the Lions are trending than to get the over. I would put it this way. If the Lions are ever in a coin flip fourth quarter, Jared Goff's under center. I'm just going to give it to the
other I'm going to laugh when they win like 11 games this year when Aaron Rodgers is not in the division and Jared Goff is looking real crispy out there.
All right, wait,
running the same offense that he ran in LA. Like, Holy cow.
If Aaron Rodgers leaves the division, Jordan.
You know how motivated Goff is because he got kicked out? Like, see ya.
In ranking, Aaron Rodgers leaves the division. Quarterback ranking would be Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love, Jared Goff.
Jared Goff's better than Jordan Love. Jordan Love has
the Packers would love to
have
him.
How do you know? What do you have to back that?
Because we haven't seen one positive stats. He's been to a Super Bowl. And we haven't heard one positive thing about Jordan Love since he's been drafted. At least we heard things about Aaron Rodgers.
You just have to be a breathing human to be a better quarterback than Jared Goff.
So the Minnesota Vikings, they're sitting at 8.5 wins over under. They also have a really hard schedule as well. They're at the 28th level of difficulty in schedule. So last year, we saw the Minnesota Vikings get off to a really slow start. We were wondering if this is where things start to end for Kirk Cousins. You have Dalvin Cook look better. I think last year he looked stronger than he'd ever looked before. He ended up missing a couple games due to personal reasons, not injuries towards the end of the year. So it was like the first year that he remained healthy all the way through, I believe. And Kirk Cousins started off really bad. They didn't have good pass blocking. They got rid of offensive tackle long-term Riley Reiff. They ended up drafting someone. But there's positives here. They drafted Justin Jefferson, who is one of the best young wide receiver prospects we've seen in a long time. They still have Adam Thielen. Irv Smith emerged enough to where they let go of Kyle Rudolph. They still have Dalvin Cook coming back. The Vikings. And they made a push last year at the end of the year. Do we see them sneak back towards the playoffs here? I like them at an over of 8.5 in a 17-game season. I see them at 9-10 wins.
If they can fix that run defense. Yeah, fix that run defense. Bad run defense, average quarterback. I don't know.
Dalvin Cook is going to keep him in games. That's my thing. You have to be able to run play action with two Pro Bowl wide receivers and have a Pro Bowl running back. Your offense is going to move the ball. They just hit some snags last year.
In the spirit of consistency, I do believe Kirk Cousins can lead this team to a Super Bowl. I think they have the personnel to do it. I think if Mike Zimmer is able to scheme up and shore up that defense with his with the players they picked up in the draft and any free agency pickups they have done, I think they have a legitimate shot of winning.
Yeah, Patrick Peterson.
I got a hot take.
Peterson.
Hot take alert. He's heating up.
All right, I won't finish.
Mike Zimmer.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was throwing that out there for you. And that
Mike Zimmer gone after this year. How does that go with your take, Nate? His defense has been falling apart the past couple seasons, and we've seen him re-sign Anthony Barr to a huge contract, and he's been underperforming. They lost their cornerbacks. Their defensive line presence is pretty much gone except for all-pro defensive end. What's the name of their all-pro defensive end?
Danielle Hunter.
The current one? Yeah, Hunter.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter. So do you see them contending, Nate?
If anyone can do it, it's Mike Zimmer, one. And two, on the offensive side of the ball, they've gone through, I want to say, three offensive coordinators in the last 4 years since Kirk Cousins has been there. They're keeping their OC this year. I think that there's a very good chance that you see a bit more rhythm developed on the offensive side of the ball. They clearly have the personnel on the offensive side to put up points. All they need to do is slow down the other side, and they're going to be okay. Like, they need to turn some of those sevens into threes, and they're going to be okay. Like, that's simple. The one thing is, like, they don't have to get turnovers on downs. They don't have to that'd be great. Force turnovers, on downs, force more punts. But like, if you can just do the simple thing of turning sevens into threes, it changes the entire aspect of every football game.
It's very strange too. Last year, because I don't think their core problem on defense, like they went out and added Yannick Ngakoue. Remember that? Yeah, and then it just didn't work out. They had to get rid of him after acquiring him. And you would think Danielle Hunter and Yannick Ngakoue would be an amazing tandem at the defensive end position, but it just didn't work at all. So does it go deeper into the players not buying into Zimmer's system anymore? His underperformance? I've kind of talked myself out of him now.
I like Zimmer as a coach.
Who, Hunter?
I think he's a great coach, a good X and O guy. I feel like he knows what he's doing. But it's just as far as talent on that defense right now, it's not really a lot of it. And obviously that's not Zimmer's fault. You know, that's the GM's fault. And Nate, I feel like Nate said defense don't matter because we just talked about how bad the defense was. And all he said was, well, the offense should be this, this, and this. But what about the defense?
I didn't say defense doesn't matter. I said they need to turn turning sevens into threes is a huge deal.
And that's a good defense. That's a good defense, right? So you need a good defense. The Vikings don't have the type of offense
to carry a team.
They don't have that type of offense. Kirk Cousins is not that type of quarterback. So what I'm saying is, let's say the defense is average. If that defense is average, that team isn't good enough. Just not good enough, in my opinion. I think
Dalvin Cook is probably going to run in for. I think a defense needs to be average. They were a significantly below average defense last year. You turn them into an average defense in the NFL, and I think they're going to win. They're going to win five more games.
I actually lean more towards Nate here if the defense does return to the middle of the pack. With the offensive weapons that they have, I think they win more of the close games that they lost last year. Kirk Cousins doesn't go back to old patterns of late game interceptions and things like that. Let's briefly touch on the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, best defense in the division. They made the playoff push last year at the end of the year. Mitchell Trubisky was brutal to watch. Nick Foles was brutal to watch. They just couldn't throw the ball downfield. They went out, they signed Andy Dalton, got ridiculed as they listed him as starter number one, but we saw Andy Dalton could move the ball with the Dallas Cowboys last year. David Montgomery came out, and he had a great season last year, finally, after being a little bit of a letdown his first year. And then Allen Robinson is a top 10 wide receiver in the league. So do we see – how early do we see Justin Fields? Because that would change the win projection of the Chicago Bears.
Week one.
Yep.
You think week one Justin Fields will be the starter?
I
think
absolutely. So. There's no other reason why. I don't see.
It's going to be – the Chicago Bears are only at 7.5 for win-loss. You guys taking the over on that?
I don't know.
They have the third hardest schedule.
If – With Justin Fields under center, I like them over 7.5. I will officially go on record as apologizing and being wrong. I believe when Dak went out last season, I told CJ that was the last time Dak would ever take the field as a Dallas Cowboy. I was wrong. I thought Andy Dalton was significantly better than he was, but I was wrong.
I do like how Chicago drafted, though. I mean, being able to go up, get Justin Fields, then they get, you know, a new left tackle and Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State, another guy who was a little more highly regarded than where he was drafted, obviously. And then they were able to fill the right tackle position with Jermaine Afidi, another guy. I mean, they did really well this offseason. to be honest with you guys. I feel like they're in a good spot. Their window is closing. We've talked about that. Defensively, they've wasted some years on defense with, you know, Trubisky a quarterback and the carousel back and forth. But Allen Robinson has a quarterback who's probably going to be the most accurate that he's ever played with in Justin Fields. You've got an up-and-coming Darnell Mooney.
I mean, honestly, I think Andy Dalton's an upgrade from Nick Foles and Trubisky as well. I think he's more accurate, and I think Allen Robinson is getting an upgrade at quarterback regardless.
But you've got 1 year. You've got 1 year if you're Matt Nagy, and you got to do it now.
What we're not talking about.
And Matt Nagy only have 1 year.
Oh,
Did you see the haul they gave away for that for Fields? I'm not saying it was the wrong decision.
I mean, for a quarterback to move up and get your franchise quarterback, an extra first round pick is nothing. That's standard.
Yeah, I think.
What were you saying, CJ?
I think Justin Fields. I agree with you, Brandon. I think Justin Fields come in and he starts week one, but whether he's going to be throwing the ball to Allen Robinson week one is still in question. I mean, Allen Robinson was franchise tag. We all know how that goes. Obviously, training camp isn't here, but in another month and a half, 2 months, when training camp is approaching, we're going to start hearing about players holding out. And Allen Robinson, he wasn't happy last year. He told us about it the year before. He wasn't happy. I get Justin Fields is there now, but there's still quite the possibility Allen Robinson does not want to be in Chicago. So, I mean, you know, I guess we'll kind of wait and see. I'm going to make another hot take, and that hot take is going to be I think the Chicago Bears' offense will be better than their defense is coming up here.
Wow. So you think the defense is going to fall off?
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily bodes well for their team.
It doesn't, but it's coming.
I think,
their corners
though,
are terrible. Their secondary underperformed last year. I like their front seven.
Yeah.
I like their ability to stop the run, and I like my man Roquan Smith running sideline to sideline. But on the outside of that defense, it's a little more to be desired. And again, midseason last year, Hakeem Hicks, he actually got hurt. I want to say around week 8, week 9. And I saw a steep cliff, a steep fall off in that run defense, which made me go back and do some homework and say, man, this Hakeem Hicks guy, I didn't know he was this good at stopping the run. But he's a run stuffer. And I mean, hey, one or two guys go down. Obviously, you're not just battling other teams and competing against other teams, but you're also battling injuries and keeping everyone healthy. And look, they're a guy or two from really, you know, falling on their face on the defensive side of the ball. And as I've said yesterday, defenses, they come and go quick. You know, they come and go quick. We can project a defense. Hey, they were good the year before, so we project them to be just as good, if not better. Well, if you remember, the Chicago Bears defense last year was not better than the Chicago Bears defense the year prior. And then we can also look at Minnesota, who we brought up. Their defense in 2019 was a lot better than their defense in 2020, even though on paper it looked very similar. So, I mean, it's hard to project the defenses, but I'm going to make another hot take and say the Chicago Bears defense is not going to be one of the better defenses this year. I mean, I like how their defense is constructed just within the front seven, but on the outside, their corners, their safeties outside of Tashaun Gibson, they didn't play well. So defenses, we've seen it from year to year. You expect the defense to continuously get better from year to year, but as we've seen in previous years, it's hard to project defenses just on a year-to-year basis. And just a couple years ago, I mean, look, the Chicago Bears had a pretty good defense last year. No, better than pretty good. They had a good defense last year. The year before, they had a great defense. So in those terms, they're trending down. Same thing with Minnesota. In 2019, they had a really good defense. In 2020, that defense was awful. So, I mean, I just think they're aging a bit, and I don't really think they address some of those needs in the draft. So, I think
what we're starting to see also, I think what we're starting to see also as well, which the Rams has done a good job avoiding this, but we might see this in the next few years with them, is missing that top-end talent that comes with having a first-round draft pick. Because they went up and did that Khalil Mack trade, that didn't allow them to get the proper stuff to go along with drafting Mitchell Trubisky. That was the wrong move. Or, you know,
and you also know what it does?
Offensive weapons.
It makes it that much more vital to re-sign Allen Robinson to a long-term deal.
100%. I mean, they went and got him at quarterback. So if he's not happy with Justin Fields, then he was never going to be happy in Chicago. So
yeah,
that's just facts. All right, let's move on to the NFC West. Arguably the best division in football. Last year we saw the San Francisco 49ers. They took a step back after making the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo really struggled staying healthy. But Kyle Shanahan may have done his best coaching job thus far, keeping this team afloat. I think I remember last year at one point they had like 75% of their cap was on IR.
Jeez.
I believe. Like, it was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. We went through those numbers several times.
NFC, just watching the 49ers still compete and be a hard-nosed football team last year. And now they got everyone back, and they have a better offensive line. So they still have Jimmy Garoppolo. They drafted Trey Lance, who we've already sung praises of what he could be as a weapon in Kyle Shanahan offense. And then Nick Bosa's back from injury. They're still going to have that aggressive pass rush. The 49ers, strength of schedule-wise, you are looking at the... Where are they at? Oh, the 14, right in the middle, a little bit further in. So, but their over under is only 9. I'm taking the over on 9 for the 49ers.
10.5.
Oh, 10.5. All right, that's a little bit more.
I know. I was like, wait a minute, what?
That's better, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's 2 more wins. That's a lot. That's more of an even take on them. But last year, so we do look at them rebounding. The Seattle Seahawks, my overall favorite to take a dip this year. I think they missed the playoffs this year, and it's not going to end well. With Russell Wilson already stressing in the offseason, he doesn't want to get hit as much, asking for offensive line help. We're looking at another Aaron Rodgers-esque situation here. He's asked for offensive line help 2-3 years in a row now. They don't draft an offensive lineman. They don't go out and sign an offensive lineman because they're cap strapped because of that Jamal Adams trade. They have one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league and one of the highest paid defensive players in the league at a position that doesn't necessarily
and didn't have a first round pick.
A high paid player and didn't have a first round pick. Exactly. They'll have it again next year, but that was 2 years without a first round talent coming in. Yeah. Once again, they kept Carlos Dunlap, who helped with their pass rush last year. But they're still – remember, KJ Wright's still sitting on free agency. Yeah. They don't have the money to pay him, and no one wants to give him a long-term deal. So if they could bring KJ Wright back and keep that core nucleus of Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, then that would help this defense immensely. But if they lose KJ Wright, I see them falling even more.
Yeah.
I really wonder. There's been a
– It's tough here because – a lot of my projections for the divisions, I put a lot of stock into the starting quarterback. Okay, who's the best quarterback in the division? And when you look at the NFC West, Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the division, hands down, without question.
Kyler Murray's right on his heels, though.
But then when you – no, he's not on his heels. But I do like Kyler Murray's talent. But when you look at the construction of the rest of the teams, like – you know, San Fran, outside of quarterback, roster way better than Seattle's. Arizona, you can make the same case. But Seattle has Russell Wilson. So it's so tough. I mean, look, if Russell Wilson come out on fire and put together a season like Aaron Rodgers put together this past year, it wouldn't surprise me. But this is going to be a very, very tough division. Another division that's going to be very interesting to watch with the week.
So the Seattle Seahawks, 9.5 over under. They're sitting at the 22nd spot. I'm going under here just because with improvement by every other team in the division, Seattle stayed where they were. So it's just logical to me them taking a step back here. Do you guys, would you go over or under on the 9.5 wins?
I'd probably go over, and I think this is a division with 3 playoff team potential.
Oh yeah, I agree here too. There's just so much talent.
I'd probably go over.
What's your argument? Really? Over 9.5? Think about this. Which team do you see getting worse?
Nah, I know.
One of them has to get worse. Because remember, San Fran's going to improve.
I feel like the Cardinals will continue to be what they are.
Even after the pieces they added this offseason, there's such more of a... Dude, now they have the second wide receiver with DeAndre Hopkins. They've added... and with A.J. Green, they added Rondell Moore. They brought in J.J. Watt, a vet, to lead the defense. Everything trends up.
And they still have the same coach.
Mm. Cliff Kingsbury.
I think the Cardinals have the most upside.
Just change that.
I think that...
You picked them to win the division last year.
Yeah. And I think they have the most upside still. I picked them because I was banking on their upside, and I was banking on momentum. I think the Rams are probably... Sorry, what was that? No. If I had to pick this year, I would think I would pick the Rams. I think the Rams are the most improved. I'm most improved defense.
If this offense gets more creative, yeah, they just have to get more creative. I can see them actually taking that next step and winning the division.
And you were talking about that. You were saying the Rams. You think they're going to win the division?
Yeah, I think the Rams are the most improved overall. They fixed their main issue, which was quarterback.
How important is Rondell Moore going to be to this offense, Brandon? Because I know you were a believer in him. Is he going to make the difference you suspect? I mean, you went out and you spent a hefty amount on him on a trade in our Dynasty League. So yeah. I imagine – so it's not adding up for me here.
It does. Here's the thing. Like, you know, they can use him so many different ways. I think that we're going to see a better usage at receiver. I think – with Larry Fitzgerald a year ago, defenses could sometimes pin them down and get them into situations where they would choose like a bubble route from the slot. And that bubble route happened to be going to Larry Fitzgerald, which does not fit in that equation. Okay. Fitzgerald's not a guy that you're throwing bubble routes to, at least at this age. A guy like Rondell Moore in the slot is going to pressure defenses more. I think this is where they get better, is they have 3 legitimate wide receivers, Green at the back end here, but a renewed spirit, hopefully, is what we may see out of him. You've got arguably the best wide receiver in the league in Hopkins. You add a guy in the slot in Rondell Moore with that versatility who can come in and out of the backfield, get mismatches on defense, and identify where man coverage is going to be when you're moving him in and out of the backfield. So many cool things you can do, but again, the coach has to actually put in the time and the effort to be different. Get out of that 10 personnel, which they use at the highest rate in the league. Nobody uses 10 personnel more with no tight ends on the field. And you've seen them actually move away from 10 personnel more and go into, you know, they've actually moved into to the range of 21 personnel, you know? So again, like the Cardinals are slowly evolving, but is it going to be enough? If it is, if he gets more creative, if Kingsbury gets more creative on offense, with the weapons that they have, everything that Nate has said will come to fruition. Everything.
Christian Kirk, let's also not sleep on him. He started coming into his own last year. That's probably might be the best 4th wide receiver in the league.
Yeah. I think
in an air raid offense, he's going to run real routes.
I like Rondell Moore's talent. It's no question in talent. He won't play 16 games this year. He'll probably come in week 1 as a game time decision with a pulled quad or pulled hammy or some BS like that.
Hey, last year he was injured because they were trying to cover up for the fact that he was going to sit out the year. Then he changed his mind. Oh, lingering injury is why he's not playing. Then he decided out of nowhere, I'm going to play.
Yeah.
So we really don't know post injury what his knee injury was. They said it wasn't even the knee injury that was lingering. It was something else.
When little dudes are already injured coming into the league, that's cause for concern.
I don't believe he was injured last year. I think that his coach was trying to save his draft stock is the rumor. Mm. Brian,
go ahead.
No, Brom was trying to save his draft stock by saying, oh, yeah, he wasn't going to sit out because there were a lot of players sitting out last year that, you know, people were kind of questioning, okay, this dude was injured the year before. Where's his draft stock going to be? So Brom came out with a statement and said it had nothing to do with him wanting to sit out. It's just kind of lingering. There was like a lingering injury, you know, from last year's injury. And he's just waiting and giving it as much time as possible. So he wants to play. What's that?
CJ had a good point of little big dudes as well. They pull muscles. That's real. That's a real thing.
He probably weighs a little too much for his own. I think he weighed in at like 193 pounds at 5'7". I mean, man. Look, it's not always good for them knees.
You got to squat 600 pounds.
I know. But you know what? That don't mean shit if it's not functional. That's
wild.
If you cannot be available.
If he plays this year.
There's a reason why
If he plays this year and he makes it the whole year, then he'll be a difference maker.
Why powerlifters.
How tall is Rondale Moore?
5'7" what he measured.
Yeah, if
5'7".
If
so Steve Smith was 5'9", he clocked in at 5'9", 195.
Yeah.
So let's take it. The Rams are the last team, guys. Nate said they're going to be the biggest.
And that'll do it
because of for today's show.
I'm just kidding.
But I agree. Adding Matthew Stafford over Jared Goff. I keep saying this to C when we're talking in private. And Sean McVay is going to just look over at Matthew Stafford wearing his backwards hat on the sidelines. And like, I could add Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe.
Over and over and over again.
So Shanahan right now. Shanahan's thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Gave all those picks away.
I mean, I don't even think it probably won't even come down. Like, to be honest, we don't know how good Matthew Stafford's going to be.
That's true.
I think he'll be pretty good. He's been put in an offense where he hasn't had guys schemed open for him. And now he's going to an offense that actually like will have open receivers that he doesn't necessarily have to overcompensate throwing the ball to. Yeah. It'll probably be easier on his back as well, not having to scramble around and throw the ball deep downfield.
He's got some receivers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of their wide receiver core, even past Van Jefferson is emerging. Like, he's going to be a great route runner. I see him having a pretty bigger season this year compared to his rookie year. Like, it's going to be a coming out party.
Cooper Kupp's one of those guys too, you know, the injury stuff that you hope that he can overcome.
Yeah, that's true.
He's also on the last year of his deal as well, if I'm not mistaken. So it's probably some contract negotiations going on.
Cooper Kupp got re-signed.
Did he?
Tyler Higbee as well.
I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I didn't hear about his re-signing either. Tyler Higbee. He's also the
year $447.25 million deal.
Okay,
signed that goes into effect 2023. Nice. It was last year, and the potential out is 2023.
Little
for Cup. Nice.
Tyler Higbee as well. Gerald Everett. He signed in Seattle, so he is now the number one tight end in that offense. So, and they're paying him as such. So he's one of my sleepers in fantasy this year. But the biggest question with the Rams is, will their defense be the same after losing their defensive coordinator? This guy truly had them as a overachieving team because of his defensive play calling.
Yeah. I think that, you know, they went out and they got a guy who is going to adapt and try to keep the scheme the same. I think any coordinator who comes in, if you're going to be successful, the first thing you want to do is you want to be able to identify your personnel that you currently have, and you want to adapt to what they are. And the scheme I don't see changing. I feel like it's Raheem Morris who is the new DC. So I feel like he has to come in and he has to adapt, obviously, to what was already there.
Do they have the linebackers for Raheem Morris' style of play? Because he's been, linebacker has been a very important position.
Yeah, I think that's really where they're lacking. the linebacker position. But again, I mean, they're good everywhere else. So if your strength is your defensive front and your secondary, then that can, you know, kind of bandage up what you're missing in the middle there on defense, kind of help those guys out.
All right. Well, the Rams, right before we go, they are sitting at the 23rd in strength of schedule. Their over under is also 10.5. So, man, this is a tough division, man.
Yeah, 10.5. That half is where you're like,
yeah,
for this division.
10 wins sounds about right for this.
If you're listening, just don't bet on the NFC West at all.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
it's
agree.
Blurry. Yeah, so that, super blurry.
It has the Arizona Cardinals over under at 8. I see them as over, and Seattle under. And then it's a toss up with the Rams.
And what's the Seattle's line?
Seattle's 9.5, I believe.
I'd go over there.
I just don't think they have the defense for it in a division this loaded. They are a Russell Wilson injury away from being a losing football team.
Ugh.
For sure. That is fair.
Yeah.
So are the Rams.
No, the Rams could still, with their defense, they could still scheme. They'll be in games. Right. You don't need it. If you elite quarterback with Jared Goff.
The same. You're not going to win games with.
Who's they'll be up? In games, though. Without Russell Wilson, Seattle will not be in games.
Almost like San Fran last year. San Fran lost their quarterback. They were still in games and still had a chance because they still had a pretty good roster and a innovative coach. Whereas
but that's the difference.
With Seattle, if Russell Wilson gets hurt, the wheels fall all the way off. If Matt Stafford gets hurt on the Rams, I think McVay can, you know, pull a rabbit out of a hat and still do what Shanahan did last year.
They've got Duck Hodges.
For our normal listeners, Brandon, who the hell is Duck Hodges?
He was the backup for the Steelers, remember?
Bucky?
A couple years ago. Him and Rudolph and that whole carousel. Yeah. Duck Hodges, the duck call dude or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Well, guys, that is going to wrap up our second half of the NFL schedule release. We've gone
Enjoy
over every division,
show tonight.
Every team. We've talked in depth on the over-unders. Place your bets accordingly. Place them early. Check out some stats that will support our calls here on our sister site, Football Scout 365. Check us out at the number 5 Tool Sports Podcast, 5toolsportspodcast.com, on Instagram, on TikTok. Got some YouTube stuff coming. Guys, football's in the air. Can you smell it? It's far away. It's like a mediocre fart, but it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and permeate that room. All right, guys, as always, check out M Cash. Hit him with the beats.
My mama says, you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with